Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious words of Jesus so faithfully preserved for us in the Bible. And we ask that you might help us to hear his word this morning. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, contemporary life is full of pressures and tensions. This last few days, a Freedom of Information request has shown that the number of nurses taking time off due to stress has soared as the NHS has struggled to cope with rising demands for care. A famous European football manager explained this week why he had to step down from his job. 50-year-old Marco van Basten said, "I felt I couldn't offer what I should offer. That made things too difficult for me. I couldn't do it. I kept suffering from stress. I was the one who needed to take the decisions. Everyone was looking at you. What, when, who, how, and where?" Next Saturday sees the deadline for self-assessment tax returns to be sent to Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. And according to the smallbusiness.co.uk website, this ranks very highly as a source of relationship strain in the UK's self-employed households. Well, these are, of course, just three examples, essentially from the workplace. But in a broken world like ours, life brings many pressures and tensions. The downturn has brought economic worries for many. We face issues with physical and mental health, whether our own or those we care for. We regularly hear a catalogue of depressing news. And there seems to be a growing intolerant secularist opposition towards Christians in this country. And this doesn't mention our own wrestlings with weaknesses and failings, with sin and with guilt. So how do we face such pressures? Well, I'm sure there are many insights from social science and medicine that can help people. But as Christians, we realise that the God who has made us and rescued us offers help, as there is much in God's word, the Bible, that brings great comfort and encouragement to believers. Well, this morning we're beginning a new series of sermons running up to Easter, focusing on some of the key phrases in the Holy Communion service. The so-called reformers who put the words of the Holy Communion service together back in the 1600s were wise enough to litter the text with Bible truths. They knew that one of the ways that people learn about and grow in the faith of Jesus is by what we pray. One of the values of having so-called liturgy, that is, Bible-shaped written prayers that are used time and again, is that we pray them. We chew them over. We learn them. We recall them. We meditate on them so that they can become, as it were, part of us and help feed our knowledge of God and give us strength in our everyday lives. Now, the prayers of the service are carefully arranged so that having heard God's word in the readings explained in the sermon, we see our need and admit our sins to God, and then we need reassurance. We need to be comforted, to be reminded of the basis of God's acceptance of us, his forgiveness of sins, and his ongoing offer of grace. In the service, we have a list of Bible verses which have become known as the comfortable words, and later, other Bible-based prayers which root us in the good news. Now, this morning, we focus on Jesus' words in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. So, as the Holy Communion service puts it, "Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him." Then we have Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." Now, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has been introduced as the Christ, the Messiah promised in the Old Testament, the one who would put people right with God, saving his people from their sins. He has begun his public work, proclaiming, fulfilling the purpose of from the Old Testament, that people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. He has begun to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's loving rule is now here, so turn back to God. Jesus has called people to himself and challenged the assumptions of a world opposed to God, showing that living for him in God's kingdom involves many things, which he explains especially in his famous teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, by Matthew chapter 11 in our reading, Jesus is on a preaching tour of the cities of the northern Galilee region, and he reiterates his credentials as God's Messiah King. But he recognizes that there are many who are offended by him. There are some who are against him. And he warns those who hear of his teaching and see his miracles that judgment awaits those who fail to recognize him as God's rescuer. Well, if you haven't got Matthew 11 in front of you, do turn to that if you'd like to. It's on page 984. And as we get there, page 984, Matthew 11, we find ourselves having one of those rare opportunities to listen in to Jesus, God the Son, become human, relating to God the Father in prayer. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." See, God's plan may confound many who are worldly wise, but in his undeserved love, God makes it known to children. That is, those who humbly know they have nothing to give them credit with God, but depend on what he offers to them in his Son. Indeed, as Jesus turns back to the people listening to him, he says, verse 27, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." You see, Jesus is God's authoritative King, the one who from all eternity has been one with God the Father. He knows the Father, and he makes the Father known. Jesus alone can reveal the Father, and so he relativizes all other spiritual claims. He makes clear that as God's only way of bringing people to himself, though those who reject him can expect the judgment they deserve, those who look to him can find that they escape judgment, and the way to God is open. Well, Jesus then makes his wonderful invitation and promise that we remind ourselves of regularly in the comfortable words of the communion service. Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we're faced with the burdens and stresses of life, especially the recognition of our guilt and inadequacy to put things right ourselves, we can come to Jesus. We don't come after we've sorted things out ourselves, but we come humbly in our need. And coming to Jesus involves being yoked to him. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." So we exchange the burdens of our sin and guilt, our stress and anxiety, for Jesus's yoke. That is commitment to him, God's King, that involves living with and for him in a world that is against him. And coming to Jesus involves learning from Jesus, recognizing that he is the true King and speaks God's words, even when the world around us has a very different message. It involves the tough call of going against the flow of society. Now, this sounds demanding, and of course, it is demanding to be a Christian in an increasingly unsympathetic culture. But Jesus reassures us in verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." You see, Jesus understands what it is like to live in this world. He himself is humble and sensitive. He is with us as we take his good news out into the world, as he promises at the very end of Matthew's gospel. So it is not always easy by any means to be a Christian in a world of pressure and stress. But Jesus says it's worth it. So much so that Jesus can say, compared to that which is on offer from the world, verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But we've still to see the key part of Jesus' promise in these comfortable words. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Coming to Jesus with our burdens of stress, pressure, and guilt results in rest. Now, this is a wonderfully rich word. It's the word that's used of God the Father after his creation of the world, right at the start of the Bible in Genesis. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. See, having completed his work, God rests. And that is a symbol of the fact that he has made the world for a purpose. That is harmony and peace, especially with the people that he has made. Now, when Jesus offers rest to those who would come to him with their heavy loads, he does so because of what he was going to achieve through his death on the cross, to save his people from their sins. What the Holy Communion services we take part in it this morning supremely illustrates. By coming to Jesus, believing in what he has done, there can be rest, peace with God, and a handing of our burdens over to him. Our New Testament reading from 1 Peter has a terrific example of how, as Christians, we can benefit from this promise of Jesus. Peter says to his Christian readers, 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. So we are to humbly cast, throw, pour, hurl our worries and concerns and loads and burdens onto God through Jesus. The one who has such personal concern for his people that he delights in taking them for us. Well, what a great promise to learn and use in our own prayers. Well, we all know that we live in a broken, pressured, and stressed world. How encouraging then, indeed truly comforting, to hear Jesus' message. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus. We pray that you would help us, whoever we are, whatever our concerns, to come to him with our burdens, with our heavy load, and to find rest in him. And we ask for his sake. Amen.